Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I was just going to ask if you messed with diet ginger beer made with stevia.
I don't, but I fuck with poppy real hard these days.
Yes, you talked about it, I think, on our on a different episode, possibly.
Most nice.
And most likely the Virgil's kind of fake Diet Coke is also something I really like, because I think I've told you it's been a year and a half saga of me never drinking diet soda in my life and then suddenly really getting into it and realizing it really gets its hooks in you.
Yeah, it really does. I have to be really careful with like Diet Coke, like, or it'll take over my brain.
Take
a
over
bit.
It. Like, I'm not the person who drinks it all day.
No,
but I was
never.
Well, that was my mother, and that is many of my friends. Mm-hmm. That is many, many people we know. And I'm not shaming. I'm saying, though, the fact that I was like jonesing for just one can of Diet Coke on a regular basis.
Even that was a lot. Yeah. No, trust
right.
me. I went through a little phase not so long ago where I would just be like, oh God, I could really go for a diet fucking Coke right now. And then I want it in the can. I don't want it in a plastic bottle. It has, like, the vessel is very specific for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. If they made, like, I know the point of Mexican Coke is to be like, we make it with real sugar.
Right.
So it's not like they're going to put out like diet Mexican Coke in the bottle.
You can get Diet Coke in a bottle. I mean, I don't think
I know, but I'm just, it's not that common to find it, but the vehicle in which you enjoy it, like fast food with the soda fountain Diet Coke, is phenomenal.
I'm excited to, I leave for Costa Rica Saturday, and I'm excited for the snacks, and I'm excited to be like, because I don't know what they sweeten their soda with there. Maybe it's sugar cane, maybe it's beet, maybe it's
cool.
You know, it could be just be like different. I'm always just like, give me the snacks. Let me take, how are things give me different? How are things
Let
different?
Me see.
But I gotta tell you, I know I said it before, but the orange soda poppy, it tastes to me just like Orange Crush when I was a kid.
Okay.
And it has it's a prebiotic soda, so it's good for your gut, and it's got 25 calories in the whole can. Like,
okay, I'm listening. And I like the Virgil's fake Diet Cola. It's weird. It's just kind of does it. And it doesn't have,
I love a little up top Bev talk.
What is the name
of our podcast? Sidework. It's called Sidework. No. Welcome.
Okay.
Welcome to it.
Welcome to Sidework Podcast. I'm your host, Brooke Van Poplin.
Hi guys, I'm your other host, Andrea Wallace. Continue, Brooke, please.
But here in Los Angeles in Highland Park, there is a really cool giant beverage store called Galco's.
Yes.
On York Boulevard, mm-hmm. that specializes in every type of soda that's ever been invented. You can find any flavor of soda that your heart desires, and it exists, and Galco's has it.
And they make sandwiches.
I've never tried the sandwich there.
Me neither. So it's supposed to be very good.
Okay, I'm getting all these fun ideas for like us doing another sizzle together on camera.
Yeah.
Galco's and the first ever Del Taco.
Road trip.
In Barstow. Yes. Good times. Good times. I just wanted to throw this out there for anyone. It's okay. Debatably, it's spring training's happening. Mm. baseball season is underway, mm-hmm. what have you.
I know. And I, like, it's by the end of the month, it's going to be opening day in LA, I think, like the 28th or something.
Oh, wow. And we've got whatever. We got the really cool Japanese superstar that we stole from the Angels.
Ohtani.
I called him Ohani. Jesus Christ. Anyways, I saw him hit a homer down in in the OC or wherever we were.
Cool.
Yeah, no, he was great. And now he's going to be a Dodger. Anyways, this has nothing to do with baseball, but it was just a weak segue into the fact that I was on a softball team in college. Were you ever?
I'm not in college? You were on a softball team?
Oh, like not like I didn't play for my college. Like you,
okay. Yes, I did play softball. Yes, I did.
Yes, I was in like the local, like all the bars and the local businesses.
Got it.
Like Lansing.
Right. Slow pitch, if you will. Like.
Oh, very slow pitch.
Yeah.
Maximum drunkenness.
Yeah. Like, did you have the big balls like without mitts? Did you play like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, we had mitts for sure. So if everyone can kind of get like a photo of what's going on in their head, I was absolutely on the world's most chaotic, most hated softball team in East Lansing, I think in the spring of 2001. And my friend Cal, who is a friend of the show and we love them, literally sent me this meme earlier today, and is this other person. So this is not my quote, but okay. So this other person, this is what they sent me. In college, we named our intramural softball team No Game Scheduled because if the other team didn't show up, they lost their league deposit and forfeited. It worked several times. Everyone hated us, and nothing as cool as that has ever happened to me since. And then Cal went on to be like, RIP the Bandanas, or whatever our dumb name was. And they were like, it would have been a lot cooler if we had just done this, and then we wouldn't have been asked to leave the softball league.
Oh my God.
And we were the worst team. We literally were a group of, it was all just like riot girls, punks, and everyone was just fully identifying as a dyke or bisexual, but like super femme and punk rock, and everyone had a drinking problem.
Yeah. It's almost like a book club where nobody reads the book, but it's like you also had to show up for a game and play the other team. And like, were you guys good?
So I was actually an athlete. I mean, and so was Cal. So was our friend Melissa and one other girl on the team named Jolene. And then everyone else was just a clown. I mean, it was absolute chaos. And our team coach was our friend Malia, who, God bless, I'm just saying names. I don't think she'll hear this or know this. But she was in a phase in her life where she was dating my friend Cheryl at the time. While she was having a little bit of a drug problem and stripping in a local club downtown, mm-hmm. all good. That's, again, not a judgment place. She was just like kind of like off her path a little bit. But we couldn't get our shit together to get team uniforms. Have I ever told you about this? Mm-mm. So instead, she had free T-shirts that the strip club had made for her because she won Miss Petite March. for the strippers. And so our T-shirts were like images of her topless on our shirts. And it said like Miss Petite March. And it was like, you know, said like Flappa's Stripper Club or whatever on the back. And she was like our drunken cheerleader on the sidelines. And we would go to the bar before the games instead of after, you know, then go back. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, do you remember the chaos of this? And we truly are like, we would try and get it together to practice and nobody would show up for practice. We'd only show up for game day and no one knew like what their position
was.
Yeah,
it was like zero strategy. Argue. Right.
No strategy.
Bad news, well, bears.
Absolutely. And we would go to the bar beforehand to talk strategy, but then just get drunk and show up on the field. And everyone was like, do we have to play these assholes? And like,
I feel like the most so I ever fun. Did like post high school with sports was like volleyball league night. And the Fair point enough. Of that would be like everybody's drinking like cheap pitchers of beer. And then you'd be like, oh, now we actually have to go play volleyball now.
Shit.
Instead of drinking. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did. I would go to like everything was just more like I would join bowling leagues to drink. I would join dart night to drink. We remember in the field across from one of my apartments, we all had a big kickball night in the rain on Halloween in Chicago.
Mm hmm. Oh yeah,
yeah. We
kickball
all showed
was
up
super
like
a, fun. I had tons of fun playing kickball. I kickball was super duper fun. And I also like, you know, that stuff like that's so mid. All that shit's really, really Midwest, or at least like not existent in like in LA. There's no like bars that just has like a volleyball court in the back, three volleyball courts, and there's like volleyball.
I mean,
drunken night, like drinking nights, like that doesn't exist here. Like,
no, it definitely doesn't. Mm-hmm. You get the ocean and the actual, you know, Olympic volleyball,
right?
You know, potentials all practicing on the beach, and instead it's like in the summer of 2000, which is the greatest summer of my life. We played for the entire summer. It was a summer-long citywide game of Capture the Flag that kept going with, like, stats. And we had our teams. And, like, there was just nonstop treachery and one-upping and tricking. And, yeah, it was just, yeah.
That's amazing. I do remember when we played a Halloween-themed Capture the Flag on Halloween and then went back to – and I went back and bartended, I think, afterwards at Bad Dog.
Yes. Yeah, yeah you
that
did.
That was hilarious. Oh my God. Anyway, wow. What a fun memory lane of a top of a show. So good.
I had to talk about it. It's the greatest thing ever. So anyways, we'll get into the topic of the day in a moment, but I wanted to just let y'all know, get into some headlines, that guys, get excited. Move over Taco Bell, Pizza Hut. Move over KFC, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, whatever it is. There is a new experiment in town where they are going to start trying to collaborate and condense and mash up Applebee's and IHOP.
What?
Both chains are obviously underperforming, right?
Yeah.
And so instead of maybe looking at the problems that exist within each chain, they're like, what if we take different failing chains and then mash them under one building and suddenly we'll have pancakes and ribs, everybody's favorite.
I mean, breakfast, lunch, and dinner is what it sounds like to me.
This article, which again, like, chain restaurants are 1000% going the way of the American mall. Mm-hmm. Like, they're truly just disappearing. People have gotten a little fancier about, you know, just and I'm not ripping on these places for food. It's just like, hey, Sizzler used to be good. It's not good anymore. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's a cost effective place to go feed a family. But even Outback Steakhouse and the Cheesecake Factory are also in situations where they're looking to kind of do basically have efficient properties where they mash up themselves with another chain to save on cost. And a lot of this has to do with COVID.
Right.
Of course, because like COVID is just still taking victims like crazy. Oh,
well, absolutely. I mean, and the restaurant industry itself has been struggling for a very long time. And as we've talked about, especially here in California with minimum wage going up, that's going to like really be a heavy, like a big hit, especially when it comes to labor costs. But yeah, this shit is not good. I mean, and then inflation on top of it, right?
Well, right. You know, and you're just sitting here going like, having a dual brand under one roof is so weird because you're like, well, it's one corporate strategy suddenly trying to mix with and mesh with another corporate strategy. And, you know, I mean, hey, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sure some of these coworkers have a little, you know, brand loyalty, which is funny, where you're like, oh, don't put a Cheesecake Factory server in the same space.
Oh, I'm sorry. If I can get a bloom and onion and a piece of cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory in the same sitting, my heart would explode in the best way possible.
You mean literally. It would literally explode.
Oh, yeah. Or my butthole. We'll see what happens first. I mean, it makes sense, you know, because it's like this is coming the wave of food halls, right? essentially.
Right.
Which you're big now and you're sharing overhead in the same space. So it is smart, but it is also weird.
Yeah. It's just very weird. And get ready to be able to have all the brands sort of mashed up. What I think would be great is if every restaurant officially put forward their three best dishes, right? And then there was just some chain called fast food, period, yeah, or like totally. Corporate. And you're like you said, like a piece of delicious cheesecake, a bloomin' onion, every hit from every restaurant.
Well, it was then, Yum, you know, Foods is who owns like Taco Bell and KFC. So it could be called like Yum Food Halls or something like that.
This for sure terrifies me because I don't know if you've noticed the big monstrosity coming up close to where I live. It's called the Partake Collective and there's no parking. It's already at a really problematic intersection in my neighborhood, but it's going to be a giant food hall that's going to be by the Glassell Park pool.
Oh, God, there's no parking. I swear to God, we should just invest in parking structures in this town. We'd make so much money.
We'd be so rich. Anyways, guys, keep an eye out in the new year. If you find yourself in an Applebee's IHOP, get at us ASAP, especially if you work at one. Please talk to us soon. We would love to hear from you. Applebee's, it's so good.
Applebee's. This next headline. We watched the YouTube.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, great. We watched it on YouTube today. Like,
I'm so glad.
Before I knew that you were going to talk about it because we're Bon Appetit like nerds. Like,
great.
Well, we're kind of like YouTube nerds as far as like the stuff we watch. And I've been watching Andre for a long time.
I don't even, like, we don't even surprise each other anymore. Mm-mm. We're just swimming in the same shallow pool together all the time. But my next headline, which I think is like, I mean, not that it could be its own episode, but this is, guys, get out your notepad, get out your pen, because we have like good news in the money saving and good drinking realm. But essentially, Bon Appetit's sommelier, Andre Houston Mack, went ahead and just did a taste test, sommelier level taste test.
He's the king of the beanie sommelier, just so y'all know.
Yes. Yes. He reminds me so much of my friend George. But basically tested out everything that Costco is putting forward as their Kirkland signature brands, their store brands of their handles of liquor.
Yeah.
For very, very affordable prices.
Yeah.
So we can toggle back and forth, obviously.
Absolutely.
And the good news is Costco knows what they're doing.
Yeah, they really do. I'm there a lot.
We realize it's at this point in time, it's best for our pockets to probably join Costco.
Ooh, we'll go together.
Yay. Yay, Costco bitches. So by the way, unless otherwise noted, the size of these bottles are the 1.75 liter bottles.
Yes, which there are some that are like a little smaller, but that's only because they might be like a little more high end. Yes, yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But if you're taking notes, right, the Costco American vodka, he was just like, listen, it's totally fine, totally regular.
Yeah.
Make a Bloody Mary with it. He's like, it's got the alcohol burn to it that you expect from vodka.
It's on par with Tito's is this one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay. Yeah. And he's like, it just does what vodka does. It's $13.99 mm-hmm. for a fucking handle of this shit. So then they elevated it a little more. And for $6 more, there's a French vodka that you would compare to Grey
Goose. Yes.
Goose. Right. He was just like, this one does not have the rubbing alcohol vibe. It has a little more on the palate. Mm-hmm. It's given a little more. She's a little sexier. Once again, a fucking handle of it for $19.99.
Yeah.
You would like to take
good for martinis. This is the one that's this is in my mommy's cupboard all the time.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, okay. We're a Kirkland alcohol family, the Wallaces in general.
but I also feel like we're giving because I was like, ew. No thanks.
Yeah.
And now I saw this and I was like, oh, okay, I'm listening.
Well, and he goes on to explain in this too that it's like, you know, they do the quality and it's like people think they're not going to make money off of it because they're doing it in such big batches that they're, you know, they're only making $2 a bottle, but then they're selling millions of bottles. And like, that's right. where, you know, the savings trickles down to, and quality trickles down to us, the consumer.
We do actually get the benefit. This is mm-hmm. like one of the few things lately where the consumer gets the benefit.
Blended Canadian whiskey, which he said was a total meh. I don't like Canadian whiskey personally, this is going to be on par with like a Canadian Club, if you will, maybe mm-hmm. a Crown Royal. Yeah, it's not for me at all. But then there's a blended Scotch whiskey, this which he loved. This is like the sixth year, I think. Notes of like peat and iodine, Band-Aid, which is
I hate Scotch. Yeah.
It's like bile to me. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the peat gives me like vomit smell, you know, love it.
I know it is not my palate, but if you are a Scotch lover, mm-hmm. this is again, a pretty big bottle for just under $20 mm-hmm. where he's like, this is a sipper giving Johnny Walker Red vibes.
Yeah. And then for, you know, almost $36.49, you can get the 12 year Scotch whiskey, which is a mm-hmm. much more sippy dippy, if that's what you're into. Not a Scotch girl.
I know we're both like trying not to throw up in our mouths while we let the Scotch lovers know. But then, okay, so word up to our Irish Jameson lovers, mm-hmm. A big old bottle for $28.99 of their Costco Irish whiskey. He's like, it hits all the notes. It has the vanilla, the caramelized apple made from the grain alcohol. The bottle of Jameson at that same size, the price point would be $60.
Oh, so I fully. Twice the price. If I was having a big party, I would absolutely pick up one of these bottles for people to.
I'll bring up my point at the end, mm-hmm. which is hilarious. So for me, obviously, you and me being tequila girlies,
yeah.
with a tequila blanco, they instead of calling it Casamigos, they call it Costomigos.
Costomigos, so good. This is my favorite tequila lately, actually. Like we've been slugging this down for a while. Yeah.
So again, gigantic bottle. And the reason that the sommelier Andre was like super pointing out wonderful things about it, mm-hmm. he's like, listen, it is made in Jalisco where the tequila mm-hmm. is made with the agave plant.
100% agave.
It has a batch number. It was awarded 92 points. He's like, it's got the fresh cut grass, the pepper, the citrus would be a sipping tequila for me. And it's $33 for a goddamn handle of this high quality stuff.
It's so good. And it's really like, even trying it, Brian's always like, the first time he tried it, he was like, this tastes just like Don Julio. And like, it pretty.
That's what he compared it mm-hmm. to. He was like, for my favorite Blanco, Don Julio, this Costco Migos is like a Don Julio comparative.
Absolutely. Then they get into the London dry gin. I'm not like I like gin. I just can't because it makes me feel crazy and I get real blotchy when I drink it. But I really do like a London gin a lot, like a dry London gin. This one is going to be comparable to like a Bombay Sapphire. You've got your coriander, juniper, and citrus notes, you know, your yummy botanicals. And that guy brings in at $17.99, which is pretty fucking good. Like,
that is, mm-hmm. I mean, again, a handle of it for $18. But he went on to say that, and I didn't know this, that vodka and gin start out as the same spirit.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's.
You add the botanical. You add your juniper. Uh-huh.
Because, you know, and obviously I know that there can be gluten-free vodka when you make it out of potato versus grain or what have you. But I don't know if anyone makes. Does anyone make gluten-free gin? I've never looked into that.
It's actually all gluten free because the distillery that's distilling. It's not going to bother you unless you have like a crazy. I looked it up before because when I was going gluten free, I was like, well, can I still have whiskey? And I'm pretty sure it's all still gluten free because of the distilling process.
So I was lied to for a lot of my 20s when I was trying to be gluten free. Anyways, okay. But yeah, I had no idea that you're essentially making a gin spirit and then the different, or excuse me, a grain-based spirit.
Yeah. And aqua gin. Go ahead. Oh, I was like, aquavit is also basically vodka, but they add like caraway and fennel and anise, I think, is the difference with that. Like, that's how they, isn't that fun?
It's crazy because, like, I think, though, I react. The point is, I was going to say, like, yeah, I'm kind of a weirdo on vodka and gin, and then realized, okay, it's just a flavor profile is the main difference. Me on that kind of grain alcohol is not the greatest. I told you I punched a bag of trash after
it's
two
hard.
Martinis Every, one time.
I think everybody has their one that they're just like, yes. Never again, you know?
Yeah. I'll have two bloodies and then that's when I call it with the vodka.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But you know, like when it comes to the gin though, like if I'm in, I mean, one of the only times I've been to London was at fucking Heathrow, and I want to go back and visit. Hi, any listeners from London? We got into this really posh lounge and I got to like drink a bunch of G&Ts and they were just so delicious, so delightful.
It's honestly one of the most refreshing drinks.
It's
you
so
get kind of bomb. You get bombed really fast. It's great.
Real, real fast. Hold on,
I have a fucking old computer here. Oh yeah, yeah. Go.
It just got unplugged and it's gonna die. But here we go. I've saved the day. It's fine.
We can't have that.
Rum is also something that I'm not. You know, I love a tiki drink so hard, but like, am I gonna drink rum on the regs? Not really. But what inspired me, especially watching this video with him. Next Christmas, I'm going to make a motherfucking eggnog. I want to make a homemade eggnog.
Make a homemade eggnog because I usually am a bourbon girl with the eggnog, but it is obviously so good with a spiced rum. And the crazy thing, too, is I forget if this was a big boy or a little boy. It doesn't matter. The price is incredible. It's still a fifth, even if, the other bottles are a little bit bigger. He was just like, holy shit, this Kirkland Signature spiced rum is bottled by Sazerac in Louisville. Mm-hmm. It's made of sugar cane, as it should be. He's like, there's the sweetness backed up by baking spices. And he's like, I would even sip this bitch like a cognac. It's $13.99.
Were you a Captain Morgan girl? Were you like a Captain and Coke girl for a minute?
Sure. I've absolutely been there.
Yeah. I was there for a while too. And it was just
that
like,
is a fierce hangover.
Oh my God. And I would drink them all night and smoke cigarettes, and like the fuzz on my tongue has never been more fierce than after a night of Captain and Cokes. Boy, oh boy. But regardless, I want to slay a homemade eggnog this year for Christmas.
Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. Let's get in the game early.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And then real quickly, because this is going long, I hope you have your notepad still out.
This is basically the topic of the day.
It kind of is. But if you are a little bit more of a rum aficionado, their bourbon casked XO rum from Guatemala, aged for 6 years. It has notes of toasted almonds, toffee, salted caramel, orange marmalade. He literally was like, this is fucking fantastic.
I thought it was the cognac.
$25.
Is this the cognac or is it rum?
No.
Oh.
You know what? I didn't, because I was like, we're not a cognac crew. I didn't think so. I didn't.
Oh, got it. Yeah, we're totally not.
We're not. And then, of course, Irish cream. A big old fucking handle of Irish cream.
These are on display. My mom's house, my dad's house, my sister's house, my brother's house, my house. This is a Wallace family tradition. Now, we were Bailey's people for a very long time, but we also love a deal. I still think there's a difference. Sometimes I'll get Bailey's and people will be like, what the fuck are you doing? It's the same thing. They're both Irish creams, but they do taste different, but I like them both. And sometimes on a Sunday, even when it's not holiday season, I'll pour some of the shit into my coffee in the morning.
Cares, take a gummy, have a little Irish cream in your coffee. It's the weekend, baby. But you guys, that it was such a fun video. It's about 20 minutes in total. Mm-hmm. If you want to check it out on Bon Appetit,
YouTube that shit for sure.
YouTube that baby. I enjoyed every moment of it, and I have to say, what did that guy feel like after tasting?
I thought about everything that on too. That list. Well, I mean, he's a professional sommelier. I mean, he has tons of
he's
videos.
He's tasting.
He has so many videos. You can do a real, real big deep dive. In fact, I passed out and took a nap on the couch after I woke up like an hour later, and his videos were still playing. So.
Understood. Mm-hmm. And for me, this one hit home too, because my cute little neighbors next door, kind of, you know, did a DIY wedding and they provided their own bar. And when they got home from their wedding, they were like, hey, can we use your garage to store all of our overstock. And my garage is filled with Kirkland Signature booze. And now I'm like, oh my God, I kind of want to go like taste test a bunch of shit. But I've been polite. I've only stolen 2 bottles of wine so far. But I can replace them because it's replaceable wine. Anyways. Anyway. All right, guys. Yeah, 30 straight minutes of headlines on top of show, but that's okay. That's kind of what happens sometimes because our topic of the day, we'll get into it in a minute. No service admitted stories. If y'all do want to send them our way, you know what to do. Andrea, where do they send them?
Sidewardpod@gmail.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, everybody. So... life is scandalous. Just period. It just really is, you know.
Life's and full of intrigue and mystery.
It sure is. We in this house have been watching a little too much 48 Hours. But did they know? Yeah. Yes. Sean and I both do the, it's like a string ensemble at the beginning of 48 Hours. Are you familiar? It's like, you know, it's crazy. It's like violin and cello and it's really, really violent. Nice. And we both air cello, when it comes on and it's, you know, whatever. I used to do a dance to, the SVU, you know, Special Victims Unit theme song. Uh-huh. There's a dance. It's a whole thing. Anyways. Mm-hmm. So we're getting into some restaurant scandals because honestly, that's where all the scandal happens, baby.
Yeah. It's you think you're there for, you know, a couple drinks and a burger. Turns out, behind the scenes, scandal. Scandal.
And it's not even like wait staff, you know? It's not even the we create our own scandals.
Yes.
With each other, which
layers
keeps us distracted from the actual scandals,
right,
that absolutely. The bosses are. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're
it's
really
so
pulling
crazy.
The strings, you know. Yeah. Oh boy. Oh boy.
But to be fair, I think, you know, this is a fun topic to continue to revisit. But today, with our first installment of restaurant scandals, is mostly big corporate chains because they're the ones that get reported on. Exponentially because it's a place that we all eat at nationally. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very thankful for this mashed.com article, mm-hmm. which laid it out. I also got some info from the LA Times. And then at the bottom, well, I'm going to wrap up with a local scandal. That was from Bon Appetit once again. But y'all, okay. So some of these are very like zeitgeisty, kind of BuzzFeed friendly, you may or may not know a damn thing about him, but do you all remember the severed finger at Wendy's scandal? Do we remember?
I don't remember that one.
This is, how did I lose my, okay, there it is. I just clicked on an ad. I didn't want to. God damn these pop-ups on
I know.
Mashed
Here's the thing
articles.
About Mashed. We like your articles, but your pop-ups are out of control.
They're so nuts. Please,
I know.
Stop.
It really harshes our... It really, you're really harshing our mellow.
You are. I can't get rid of it. Why? Stop. Just say stop. Not interested. Okay. It's like, I can't even fucking read the thing, Andrea. Okay. I got to widen it out.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. All right. I got it. All right. So... This was in San Jose in 2005.
Okay.
Okay.
Take a
I've
breath.
Got that much.
Take a breath.
I'm going to take a breath. I just get so pissed at these pop-ups. Scene of the crime. San Jose Wendy's in 2005. A customer named Anna Ayala was very, very perturbed when she was eating her delicious bowl of chili from Wendy's when she claims to have bit into a human finger that was in her chili. Oh my God. When the piece of human flesh was investigated, it was found to be a 1.5-inch long finger, also with a long manicured nail, which that part is actually grosser to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
That is so much more upsetting to eat a manicured nail than a finger. But anyways, mm-hmm. So they went around the store. All employees had all their fingers, so it wasn't them. And so Wendy's higher ups, they were forced to, you know, start speculating, like, did it come, like, did someone in the manufacturing plant who sends us our weird chili and other supplies and who knows what, did they lose a finger and did it get in the chili? More or less, Wendy's offered basically a $50,000 reward for information related to the chili finger. And then obviously they were suffering a crazy public relations meltdown, you know, and the writer of this article was like, considering how much their mascot looks like she hungers for human flesh.
Oh my God.
That's so mean to Wendy.
Amazing. Well, that's a pretty hefty reward to offer. But obviously, you know, the person who comes forward is going to be missing a finger. And they're obviously the ones that did it. So they don't deserve any reward.
Right. So yes, as you understand, the plot thickens. They were able at this time, you know, in our country, forensics was very normal. Test indicated that the Miss Ayala, mm-hmm. Ayala, I'm not sure how to say her name, she never actually bit into the finger. And she had a history of lawsuits against a shit ton of other companies.
Grifter.
She's a restaurant grifter. And her husband, by the name of Jamie Placencia, he had paid only $100, they find out, to a coworker for that finger, which had been severed in an industrial accident and for some reason not able to be reattached.
So they just had like hanging around and then they were just like, I'll pay you $100. Were they like in
so
on
we
like
can grift?
A profit?
Yes. Yes. So the coworker who lost the finger is the person who came forward to the police and basically put them on blast. And this family of Ayala Placencio, they were found guilty of conspiracy to file a false insurance claim and to do, you know, basically they were charged with attempted grand theft and with damages exceeding $2.5 million. So her husband got put behind bars for 12 years. She got put behind bars for 9, but was released after 4 for good behavior. But the judge stipulated she never set foot in a Wendy's for the rest of her life.
Not a finger.
But it like it. I mean, it was
obviously
a huge hit.
Yeah. Well, jokes on you.
To Wendy's.
Yeah. Like, I love it. They were like, and you can't eat Wendy's anymore. I'd be like, no,
okay.
Anything but that, Judge. I wouldn't, you know, but still.
Please. I've never heard of a punishment so harsh. But it was a lot of damage control because, you know, I rumors fly about every restaurant, which let's face it. A lot of them are, it turns out they are pretty true. But, you know, Wendy's, the whole thing with them is like, no, they like people got scared and they lost a lot of revenue and profit from a woman finding an entire severed finger in her chili. Anyways, she was found out to be fraudulent. And yeah, she can't eat at Wendy's anymore. So way to go, girl.
Oh, Jesus. Next scandal.
Are we ready? Okay, so this is in the year 2014. And this took place in, I think I'm going to say it right, in China, in the Shaanxi province, which is a northern province in China. And essentially, someone who had just eaten at a restaurant, a local restaurant, got pulled over by the cops. And I guess at this point, it was a pretty regular test, sort of like a, what do you call it? Like a breath, when they do the breathalyzer test.
Yeah.
What's it called when they do the stop, like when they set up the traps?
Oh, like a, what are the stop point. Checkpoints.
Okay. When they do like drunk driving checkpoints mm-hmm. around America, specifically in LA, but in China, they would stop people to check for opium abuse. And so the cops pulled this guy over, literally were like, you are 100% testing positive for opium. And the man named Liu Joyu was like, I've never taken opium in my life. And he tried to blame the local noodle shop that he had just eaten at. And police didn't believe him, of course. But then the rest of his family had eaten at the same restaurant and all ended up testing positive for opium consumption themselves. Proof which they then shared with the police. So then they're like, we should maybe check out the noodle shop owner. What the fuck is going on? Like, these kids are high on opium in this family. So the owner of the noodle shop gets detained. And finally confesses that he had purchased 2 kilos of poppy shells, uh-huh. which he then like pulverized to add to his food because it would lure customers back in because of his idea that it would have addictive quality, especially once mixed with MSG,
sure.
which already some people are addicted to. This was not like a huge fine that could be slapped on a person necessarily. Well,
I would fucking hope so. Like, there's a sign, you know, there's a Seinfeld episode about this, right?
Oh, or, which?
So Elaine tests positive for like opium and she ends up getting fired by Peterman and it ends up being these poppy seed muffins that she eats all the time.
Well, right.
Right.
I mean, like heroin and opium come from poppies.
Right.
And poppy seeds. And it's like basically the shells of the seed from the plant and the flower. It is used in cooking, but it has been deemed illegal for like mass cooking in China. Like if you run a restaurant, if you run a chain, they're like, no. It has a mild narcotic addictive sort of effect, but it's still an ingredient that restaurant owners love to kind of like sneak in and mix
sure.
in.
Yeah.
And you'll find it in soup, grilled fish, hot pot, fried chicken, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, you basically like grind down the poppy capsules and they were saying it contains alkaloids that are commonly found in morphine and codeine, which I'm like, just a tiny hit of that. That sounds amazing. I would be so chill after I ate that food. But anyways, it's not that big of a slap, you know, to your company, but it was a bit of a scandal in China when the restaurants were serving customers opium.
Absolutely, especially with the tight, tight laws there. All right. Good one. Great scandal. What do you got next, Brooke?
Oh yeah. I know. If everyone, we didn't talk about it at the top of the show, Andrea's battling a cold, so I'm doing as much heavy lifting as possible.
Oh, I'll go. I'll do it. I just also
I didn't mean it. Yeah. In a, I'm just saying, like, I should give you a break. We just recorded an episode before this and you.
Sorry. My neighbors just set off a fucking firework.
God damn.
Sorry.
It is March 5th, everybody.
It's light outside. It's light outside. Whew, oh, I just yeah, jumped like the Dickens. I think I'm the only one that like heard that. I mean, you guys didn't hear that, but I just basically like jumped.
I didn't hear it over the thing.
Yeah.
So, okay, now let's head over to scandals in Britain at a chain restaurant called Whitbread.
Ooh.
And this is known as the pork scandal.
Nice.
So, okay. And Britain was already in a scandal due to being blamed for serving people fucking horse meat in 2013. There is this chain restaurant in Britain called Whitbread that, you know, their whole saying is from field to fork and everything is supposed to be, you know, trackable, you know, the footprint of the food you're eating, all the things that organic farm to table artisanal people fucking love, but in a chain restaurant, and it turns out to be mostly a bullshit. So they were serving a beef lasagna. And it turns out the beef lasagna that was advertised on its menu was actually made from beef and pork, which, as we know, is a big deal to certain people who do not eat pork. It is a religious no-no. I mean, it's a cultural no-no, you name it. It is a big deal to feed people pork when that is not okay mm-hmm. with their upbringing and their religion.
Mm-hmm. That's scandal enough.
That is scandal enough. And so there was a whistleblower within the company who basically told the local Sun newspaper, he was in the back. He was just sort of like, I used to see packages of lasagna marked as beef lasagna. And then a few months later, the packages started coming in just labeled as, quote unquote, meat.
Oh, no.
Lasagna. That's not good. And he turned over one of the packages, noticed it contains pork and beef. He tried to bring it up to management. They didn't give a shit. And essentially, too, the waiters were like, even though you've been told this, do not tell customers, you'll lose your job, which is like also terrible. It's kind of unconscionable. I mean, I know there are worse things that can happen in the world, but it's a big deal. It's like not disclosing a food allergy.
No, and that's like not in cool some at ways. All. Yeah.
It's very shitty. It's very shady. And so once this blew up and they had served 250,000 portions of this fucking lasagna that was half pork, and they were like, oh, no, we weren't like trying to deliberately, you know, deceive customers, blah, blah, blah. But like Muslim and Jewish diners lost their fucking shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like it is not, if you keep kosher with Jewish tradition, you don't eat pork. If you are halal, like just Arabs don't eat pork. Mm-hmm. The difference is it's not considered a sin in Muslim culture if you didn't know.
Right, sure.
It's forgivable. But like, I'm also like, what happens right. to the kosher people,
right.
you know?
But like, also they're like, I mean, imagine like you've gone your whole life with like ever consuming it. And then you're just like, yeah. like your vessel is impure. However you want to, you know, it's not good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a lifelong, it's just been a lifestyle. That's mm-hmm. the best way to put mm-hmm. it. And to just suddenly, to me, it would be like, oh, no. I love alcohol and I love a little weed, but I don't do coke. And for me, it would suddenly be like, someone give me coke, you know, like because that's my lifestyle. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of kosher, they said Israel also was naughty in 2013. And there was an upscale Tel Aviv restaurant called Zepra that was mislabeling pork dishes as beef and knowingly serving it
oh my God.
To Israelis and Jewish people. So like a customer hired a private detective because they were like, something probably tastes a little too delicious. And they asked a private detective to take it to a lab so that a DNA analysis could be performed on their leftovers, essentially. But so whatever they were eating was advertised as beef. But it was not beef. It was.
I feel
a
like
pig.
You can like make the difference. You can taste the difference. Like, I mean, right?
Of course you can.
Yeah, like it's really obvious. Yeah.
Yes. So that's of course they knew wild. Something was fucking fucked up. And yeah. So that restaurant's been in trouble. Anyways, as we go down the list, y'all, do you remember a chain called Chi Chi's?
I remember Chi Chi's. Brian worked at Chi Chi's. No, wait.
No.
Who worked at Chi Chi's? Didn't any people work at Chi Chi's in Lincoln? No, he's looking at me like I'm crazy. Never mind. Okay. But I do remember okay. Chi Chi's. There was a Chi Chi's in Lincoln, right? That everybody. Okay, great. Yeah, nodding.
So like, this was a big, big chain. It was like Midwestern version of Mexican food. Right?
I mean, look, I'm not gonna be mad at it. It's like ooey gooey, margarita y, chips and salsa y. Yeah.
Give me my chimichanga. That's where you would go mm-hmm. eat chimichangas, mm-hmm. right? Because as white people, we only knew what burrito bowls and chimichangas were.
Well, I don't even think burrito bowls were like invented at this point. You know what I mean?
But you would get the big, you would get the tortilla bowl.
Oh, the like taco salad. Yeah.
Yeah, the taco salad.
In a shell.
Was what,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get it, right? We're women of a certain age.
I fucking love me a taco salad in a fried shell. Are you kidding?
That's so good.
Mm-hmm.
So Chi Chi's apparently was still around even in the year 2003. And this was in Pennsylvania, right outside of Pittsburgh, where an outbreak. Oh, this is so gross. Chi Chi's had an hepatitis A outbreak that went widespread all around the state. Basically, I mean, this Chi-Chi's had to close its doors. It chose to do it voluntarily. They ended up inoculating in a panic, like giving inoculations and vaccinating almost 10,000 people locally.
Wow.
650 people were confirmed to have been infected, including 13 of Chi-Chi's own employees.
Jesus.
And four deaths resulted from the hepatitis A. It's crazy. And, you know, Hep A, which is so gross, it's the one where I'm like, that's when someone gives you a shit sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fecal matter.
It's fecal matter.
Mm-hmm. Or contaminated food. Yeah. And with like, that's just been like incubating in there, you know?
Jesus Christ. And they were like, it had to have probably been the green onion source from Mexico because they don't go through any processing. They're just chopped and served raw. So it was like Hep A infected green onions.
It's always with the green onion. It's always the spinach. It's always the green onions. It's always the, you know, yeah. Yeah.
But why is it person poo poo?
I don't know.
The field workers just taking a break, and then we get the fucking loaded nachos topped with fecal. Fucking scallions. But that's probably why we're not seeing Chi-Chi's around.
No, a lot I think you can get Hep A from like pig runoff too, right? Like that's like there's kind of the a new lot of stuff. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, get up to date with all the ways you can get the bad Hep A through C's. Mm-hmm. But one of the outbreak victims, basically, he suffered liver failure from the Hep A and needed a transplant. Oh, he got an almost $1 million settlement. From Chi-Chi's, which is like, listen, all right, that's the best case scenario.
That's horrible.
You survived your Hep A and they got $1 million settlement. So I'm here for that, you know, if I can survive.
Oh, and then Outback Steakhouse bought Chi-Chi's. And then,
gross.
Yeah, and they were like, we'll turn this around. We'll turn this hepatitis A outbreak around.
And I will put this out there because we're going a little long, but IKEA was accused.
Oh, this one's
and
good.
It was found. I mean, this is great because, you know, Andrea and I have unfortunately been talking about the meatball sundaes.
Can't stop.
For several mm-hmm. episodes in a row now. Mm-hmm. But there was a point in IKEA's history where there could have been some horse meat mixed in with what, again, the year 2013, which has come up a couple times now in this episode. They had to pause sales of their meatballs, which was a huge moneymaker for them because DNA tests revealed that there was some horse meat in their meatball. Listen, Andrea, you and I have been in Iceland, the Nordic, even though Iceland isn't necessarily like a Nordic or Danish country, but it really adheres to what they do. They eat horse in Iceland. It's
cute ponies. They got the cute ponies in Iceland.
They eat horse, whale, and puffins. But anywho, the Swedish furniture company had to, basically they serve, get this stat, 150 million meatballs a year, which drives $2 billion in meatball sales for IKEA.
That's
a lot of meatballs. They had to pull back, which was a huge, huge financial
pull back
loss
the rain,
for them.
Pull back the reins, if you will.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They had to say, whoa, Nelly. Whoa, Nelly. And then
I think it's so funny because I think Swedish, I think of like the red horses, the red Swedish horses that are everywhere, right? Like, yeah, that's so funny.
And I'll just end on this, not to, I'm really, really trying to yuck a bunch of people's yums, which is also Sean's yum. He fucking loves himself some Chipotle. I stand by the fact that I feel like I have rabies every time I eat it. Chipotle, they've done better. They're doing better. They've been working on their image. But as we all know, in 2020, basically from the years 2015 to 2018, Chipotle kept having norovirus outbreaks in their fucking restaurants, which is fucking gross. That is cruise ship level debauchery. Mm-hmm. Everyone, and like when you think of like the influx of people who choose Chipotle as their main source of like, listen, if you work in the city, if you work anywhere, if you do the drive-through, if you walk to the Chipotle on the corner, if you're in a big city and that's your affordable like $12 lunch or whatever, like people fucking eat Chipotle like mm-hmm. crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So there were five separate occasions over the course of 3 years where several Chipotle restaurants could confirm that a bunch of their employees just gave no shits about any sort of food service mm-hmm. safety protocol.
Mm-hmm. And then everybody else gave all the shits afterwards because the norovirus.
Thank you very much. And what was happening was they were probably overhiring, undertraining, especially like not taking the time to talk about, you know, food safety violations. And like, I don't know why specifically Chipotle like had this lax or this just like dereliction of food training duty, like why it happened to them specifically, because they've always seemed like the more like we know McDonald's owns them. Right. And I'm not here, you know. Whatever, but you're like,
they're like the elevated, like the more hippy dippy, like we care about our meat, we care about where it comes from. I don't know if that's true or not,
right?
But lead by example, and who knows what the training video, maybe the training video was like, relax, welcome to Chipotle, relax.
I mean, but like, but whatever was just flying under the radar and making people massively fucking sick from trying to have either their burrito bowl or their fucking taco salad, etc.
I wonder if that has to do with like the assembly line of things and like cross contamination. Like, I wonder how,
because
like,
it touches. But I feel like you're okay. I'm.
It's just so or like, okay. Just cleanly, because you can get. Well, you can get it from. But I'm like somebody who's already infected and doesn't wash their hands. Yep. You can get it from raw chicken. You can get it from contaminated seafood. Different ways from doing it. But I mean, obviously, it sounds like people were just like weren't doing their fucking job, and like this is why there was like nobody was paying attention to like safety protocol, and that's really how it happened. Unless it's just coincidence that it just kept happening to them because they're cursed. Maybe they're cursed.
I mean, they could have a Native American curse. They may have built their first Chipotle on sacred burial grounds. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would have to do more research. But essentially, with 3 years of continuous norovirus outbreaks, specifically at Chipotle, they had to pay a $25 million fine.
Damn.
And go above and beyond most restaurants and implement a crazy, crazy enhanced food safety program. So it's almost like you should feel pretty safe to eat there now,
yeah,
because of their missteps in the past. But
we're learning from our mistakes, which is always good, you know, redemption. I still don't like it.
It's, I don't know how to explain other than it tastes good and then I feel bad every time. Like, I literally feel physically bad every time I eat.
I mean, well, that's been the joke forever. I mean, norovirus aside, they've called it like, you know, we all have seen Chipotle way, like from on South Park. What is that? 10 or 15 years ago, that episode dropped about Chipotle giving you diarrhea. Oh yeah, there's a whole episode on it.
Amazing.
I love that. I love this. Then I'm just like, oh, there's a TV episode about that. Like, for two things we talked about today. But yeah, it's definitely been like an ongoing thing for a long time that Chipotle gives you the runs and makes you feel terrible. You know, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like, yeah, just like a little bit of. They're set up for failure. It's kind of, you know, obviously they're a billion-dollar company doing whatever they want, but it's just, yes, like people keep going back, man. I know people who are Chipotle heads, obviously Sean included. Like, they can't stop. They won't stop. Yeah.
Can't stop, mm-hmm. won't stop. Mm-hmm. He is always like running to the weed store, and there's a Chipotle really close to the weed store. And I'm like, of course, he's going to get a joint. He smokes his joint and then he's like, oh, and Chipotle's right there.
I love it. I'll be like, yeah, I'll take my chances with like the pop-up street taco vendor, like not Chipotle. That's so funny that I'm just like, I probably have a less chance of getting sick. It's a place that doesn't even have a fucking sink to wash your hands, let alone an entire
I've had food poisoning about 7 times since I've lived in LA, and uh-huh. you know that. Uh-huh. And because I like adventures, and yes, the LA food scene has put me down several times now mm-hmm. with food poisoning. Mm-hmm. So either way, I kind of love this topic.
There's more to explore. We're going to come back at you guys.
There's way more to explore. I had said I was going to talk about an LA one, but I think we should just move forward and do an LA specific scandal episode.
Yeah. We've gone far enough. The people have heard what they need to hear today.
Yes, they have. And if your like hometown restaurant had scandal, like that's even juicier and awesome. Scandal. We love it.
Send scandals. Scandals to, as server submitted stories. That's four S's.
Yeah.
Scandalous server submitted stories. Mm-hmm. S4.
We want it.
Yes.
Yes. We want it. We want it. Well, everyone, don't eat at Chipotle. Mm-hmm. I know I just said it was safer, but still, it makes you feel bad. Mm-hmm. And just know that Wendy's doesn't pedal fingers into their chilies, and we're gonna leave you on that.
Leave you on that. Brooke, will you be going to the Madonna concert tonight to see your perform? No, is the answer. It'd be a fun.
Oh yeah. The fact that I look puzzled means no.
And so good. Well, you guys, that's it. I feel scandaled out. Actually, I'm gonna go queue up the 48 hours or 48 like theme song, and I'm gonna like listen to it hard now, and then I'm never gonna stop.
Totally crazy. The Menendez brothers.
So
recent
good.
Episode.
All right, guys.
All right. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.